Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We begin two lines from the bottom on Kuf Tes Vav Mem Beis, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which spoke about the fact that the sanctity of a Sefer Torah is retained if it has at least 85 letters in the Sefer Torah. Where do we learn that out from? So the Gemara said from the parasha of Vehi Ben Sa'ar, as we're going to see on today's daf, that parasha itself is considered as its own Sefer of a Sefer Torah. And therefore, just like there has 85 letters, therefore, if we find in the entire Sefer Torah 85 letters, it will retain the sanctity of a Sefer Torah. So, related to that, our Gemara brings in, which we'll come into that discussion. Taraban, we learn the Braisa. Vayhi bin Saya ha'arin v'yemen Moshe. It says in the Torah that when the Aron, when the Ark traveled, v'yemen Moshe, and Moshe said, and he said what follows. So, the Gemara comments, this is the Braisa is talking. Parsha zu osu l'hakadosh baruch hu simonius milamala ulamata. That the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for this parasha of Vayhi Ben Sa'arin signs on the top and the bottom. That is, to separate it from what comes before it in the Sefer Torah, what comes after it. It has signs before and after. And in our Sefer Torah, we have upside down nuns, which shows that it's separate from everything before it and after it. Loima to tell you, we'll continue on at the top of Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Shein Zeh Mekayma, to tell us that this is not really the place of where this parasha belongs, because it doesn't belong here. It's not talking about over here in their nesias of their transportation, how they used to go. Rather, it belongs where their encampment was, which is in the beginning of Parsha of Bamidbar. And that's not over here where it is. So therefore, that's why we give these upside down nuns, and the Gemara is going to say exactly, so why is it over here? However, since it doesn't belong here, that's why we have these signs before and after to say that this is its own thing. It's almost like an oasis and elsewhere that it doesn't belong here. However, Rabbi argues and he says, that's not the reason why it has these signs before and after the Parsha of Vayhi Ben Sa'arin, because actually this is the place where it belongs. Because here where it starts, the Parsha of Vayhi Ben Sa'arin, is right next to where it says in the Torah that this is where they had left, where they had traveled from Har Sinai. As it says in the pasuk before, then the clouds took off and they left Har Sinai, they started going. So it makes sense. This is the place where it belongs of Vayhi Ben Sa'arin, that when the ark also left because they're traveling, this is what Moshe said, etc. So what is the reason why it has these signs before and after the parasha of Vayhi Ben Sa'arin? Come to say that the parasha of Ibn Sa'ya is like its own sefer chashav in its own right. So to make that distinction, that's where we have signs before and afterwards. But not to say that it doesn't belong here. It does belong here. So related to this machlokes in the Braisa, the Gemara asks, "Kaman azla hoda amr b'shmul banachman amr b'yoinsen," that based on the pasuk in Mishlei which says chatzva amudel shiva, that he carved out its pillars, seven of them. What are these seven pillars? Elu Shiva Sifri Torah. That's a reference to the seven Sifri Torah. Now, Kaman, who is that like? Who says the seven Sifri Torah? Karebi. That is that this parsha of Vayhi Ben Sa'arin is its own sefer. So it comes out that what's before it in that sefer and what's after it is also its own sefer. And therefore, because he's saying that this is the place where it belongs. So therefore, Sefer Bamidbar is split into three different svarim. What comes before Parsha Vayhi Ben Sa'arin, from the beginning till there, Vayhi Ben Sa'arin is its own sefer. And then from there till the end of Sefer Bamidbar, so there we have three together with the other four chamashim. Therefore, that makes it seven Sifri Torah. That's whose opinion it's going like Rebbe that says that it's its own sefer, and that's what has the signs before and after, not because it doesn't belong to it. Now the Gemara is Man Tana de Paul Galad Rebbe. Who is the Tana that actually argues in Rebbe, who is the Tanakam of the Bryson, and says that no, the reason why it has the signs is not to say it's own Chashav Sefer Torah, rather it's because to say that it doesn't belong here. So the Gemara says Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, who is Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya has learned in the Bryson, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Asid the Parsha Zu Shethi Akar Mekan, Vechticht of Mim Kaimer. Ultimately, in the time of La'asad Lavoi, this Parsha Vim Zaharan will be uprooted from here where it's written, and it's going to be written in its proper place. That is, when at the time when all the punishments and all the bad will be bottled from this world, and we won't be afraid of punishment, and there won't be any more evil inclination, then it's going to be written where it's supposed to be written. So, v'lama kasvakan. So now, today, why was the Sefer Torah written out of order that the parasha of Vayhi Ben Sa'arin over here? So the Gemara says, "Kedei lahasdik bin paranus rishon leparan shniyah." It was to make an oasis, so to speak, to interrupt between the first punishment that the pasuk was talking about, and to interrupt with Vayhi Ben Sa'arin, and then the second punishment. And the Gemara explains. Paranus Shnia Mahi, what is the Paranus that comes after? That's the second one, after Vayhi Ben Sa'arin. That's what it says in the Pasuk, Vayhi Am Kemesayin, that the nation, they were complaining. That's a bad incident for Klal Yisrael. And what's Paranus Rishayin? What's the first one that's right before the Parash of Vayhi Ben Sa'arin? That's what it says in the Pasuk, Vayisum HaRashem, that they traveled away from the mountain of Hashem. as the Gemara darshins v'amar b'chama b'reb chanina shesaru me'acher Hashem, that they removed themselves from after Hashem. And that is within 3 days of their traveling from Har Sinai, which just got the greatest thing in the world, the Torah. Then they had the desire of the rabble rousers of the Asafsav, and they were complaining about the meat, and it was all just a ruse to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is within 3 days of Har Sinai. So therefore, to interrupt between these two bad incidents, they stuck in Vahim Saran, but this is not really its place. And when in the future, when we're not going to be afraid of piranhas, then it's going to be put back in its proper place. And the Gemara says, Vahim Mekama, what is its proper place where it's ultimately going to be? Amravashi B'digal, that's regarding the encampments with the different flags of all the different Shvatim, which in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, that's where it's going to be, not later on in Sefer Bamidbar, where it actually is. So now the Gemara resumes discussing the topic of the Mishnah, that we save all the Kisvei Kodesh, we save the Svarim, Tanakh, and if there's a fire, we save it. So the Gemara asks the following question. Ibailu, we ask as follows. Halgayinin shel Sefer Torah, regarding the margins, which it means regarding the empty parts of the parchment, what of the Sefer Torah, and the Gemara right now at this point thinks, it means any area that's empty, that's open, that doesn't have writing on it. For example, the part on top of the writing, on the top of the scroll, on the bottom of the scroll, any part of writing that was erased and that became smooth, that doesn't have any writing in it. So regarding all these margins, what's the halacha? Matzil noizim nehadleka or ein matzil noizim nehadleka? Now we know you say b'sefer Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Question is, what's with these margins? If let's say they are in the house, an empty margin, would you save that empty part of parchment that's part of the Sefer Torah or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma b'ngiraya. Sefer Torah shabala, regarding a Sefer Torah that got worn out. Im yesh boi lalakit shmoyin v'chamashay. It's this old Sefer Torah they found it. If it has at least 85 proper letters in there, kagoyin parashav ibn sa'aran, and that is as the amount that has in the parashav ibn sa'aran, that's the source why it's considered Sefer Torah if it has at least 85 letters, as we said, because the Vahim Sa'aran is considered its own Sefer. Then Matzil, then we'll save the Sefer Torah on Shabbos if there's a fire. Vimla Vimatzil, if not, then we're not going to save it. Now the question is, Vamai, typically Mishum Gilyan Didai. What do you mean that you should save the Sefer Torah just because of the margin, because of the empty place of the parchment that has no writing in it? You're saying that there's a possibility that that's a reason, that's something that you would save. So obviously from the fact that you need 85 letters, that you wouldn't save the Gilyanus. On that, the Gemara says, no, it's not a riot, because balashani, when it's worn out, it's different. And that is, since it's worn out, even the margins are worn out. And that's also not considered significant. Our question was, when the margins are extant exactly how they're supposed to be, but it's just that it has no writing, the writing has gone, and that we're asking, if you have at least the margins, would you save the Sefer Torah just for that? Because that also, this whole Sefer Torah has sanctity, not just the actual letters. But it's because of the letters that has sanctity. Now that you don't have any letters anymore, the question is, do we still view the Sefer Torah as sanctified because of the margins of the empty part of the parchment? So the Gemara again attempts to bring a raya. Toshema, Sefer Torah shenimchak. A Sefer Torah that got erased. Im yesh boi lalakit shmoyin v'chamashayis. Now it all got erased, but if there's at least 85 letters that you could still gather that weren't erased, could go in parashas v'ahib and tzayar aron, then matzil, then you'll save the Sefer Torah. Vim lav, im matzil. If not, if you don't have 85 letters, then you won't. And again, the Gemara asks a similar question. V'amai, tebik l'mishum gilin today. You should save the Sefer Torah, the whole Sefer Torah, because of the margin, because of the empty spaces. Why do you need 85 letters, even if the whole Sefer Torah was erased? And then the Gemara says, let me explain to you what my question was. Malkim Haksav, regarding the place of the writing that got erased, Loikim Iboyili, that I never had a question. That definitely was downgraded. That does not have the status of something that's worthy to be saved. And that is, Tchi Kodesh Agav Ksavhu de Kodesh, because when this space of the parchment was sanctified, it was sanctified based on the writing that was written on it. That is, when you sanctified that part of the Sefer Torah, it wasn't because of a gillion, of a margin, and that's why it was sanctified. It was only because of the writing that's on it that makes this area Kaddish. Now, Azl Ksav, Azl Kaddish Oseh. And now, therefore, if the writing gets erased, so the sanctity is not there anymore. So there I'll agree that if it's erased, that those letters, that space where the letters were, cannot be combined to be there to save the Sefer Torah, because now it loses its sanctity once the letters go away. Kiki Mabayli, what was my question? Shalmala, Bishalmata, above the writing on the scroll and below And that is that originally, initially, when it was sanctified, was for its openness. That, like it says in the Kabbalah, that those are a certain kedusha that's there, that not based on the letters. Now that it was erased, the letters of the Sefer Torah, it stays what originally was. And therefore we have this Havamina to say that maybe you would save the Sefer Torah based on just the margin, based on the empty area, because that sanctity that it had is still here. Similarly, Shebein Parasha LaParasha, between the different parashas in the Torah, Shebein Daf LaDaf, between the different pages and the columns, Shebetchilas HaSefer, Shebetseva Ser, that, you know, the scroll is rolled up and you have some empty space before Bereishis and after the Sefer of Devarim. That was my question. But regarding, don't bring me a raya from the fact that when it's erased, that you have to have 85 letters, but what's with the space under that? That's not a proof, because that loses its sanctity, because it only had it based on the letters. My question is, on something that was always blank and it's still blank, should it have the Kedusha to save the Sefer Torah because of that? But on that, the Gemara responds, but typically mishum hahu. In other words, that even if you don't have 85 letters, it should have said in the Brisa that you'll save the letter, you'll save the Sefer Torah because of the space of what's on top and what's on bottom. And from the fact that we don't say that, you're right. So the space that was where the letters were, which was erased, you can't save it for that empty part of the parchment, because that lost it. But yet, that area, that Sefer Torah, also has what was above and what's below, and what's before and what's after. Obviously, you could prove from there that you wouldn't save it based on that. And that the Gemara answers, no. The guy is Vashadi. Those Brises, that Brise is talking about, that the margins were cut off and thrown away. And only thing that you had left was this place where the writing was. And now that got erased. That type of a Sefer Torah, that you're not going to save. Because again, you don't have the empty spaces, which always were empty, to be a reason to save it. And you only have where the writing was once the writing is erased. So it loses that Kedusha. Now it doesn't have any Kedusha, even of empty parchment. So therefore it's not a Raya. So the Gemara continues trying to prove either way on this question, if the empty spaces of the parchment would be considered Kedusha enough to save it as a Sefer Torah. So Toshima. Regarding the empty spaces, the margin on top and on bottom, Shebein Parasha LaParasha, between the different parashas, Shebein Daf LaDaf, between the different pages, Shebetchilas HaSefer, Shebetseif HaSefer, the beginning of the Sefer and at the end of the scroll, Metamen HaSeyadayim. All these empty spaces, they make a person's hand ritually impure. And that is, as it says, from the 18 things that they were geyser on that day, it says that if you touch a Sefer Torah, and then you touch Truma, you're going to make the Truma puzzle. Now, that halacha applies to a Sefer Torah. And here we're saying that even if you touch the empty parts of the parchment, the margins, that it will also give your hands a halacha of Tumah. So therefore you see that the empty parts, the margins, have the halachic status as the Sefer Torah itself. So therefore, that should answer our question, that therefore you could save this Sefer Torah based just on the margins on Shabbos. And that thing where it says, no, you can't prove from there. Because Dilma Agav Sefer Torah Shani, because maybe through the Sefer Torah, the margins have a different halacha. And that is, that Bryce is talking about, regarding the halacha of touching the Sefer Torah, is that the letters weren't erased in the Sefer Torah. It's a regular, full-fledged Sefer Torah. And this person just happened to touch on the margins. And therefore we're saying, yes, it's a regular Sefer Torah, then the margins have the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. It's one big, bona fide Sefer Torah. But our question was, when the Sefer is erased, and there is no Kedusha, the only Kedusha would be based on the margins, which had originally been there blank, and now it's still blank. Maybe it retains its Kedusha that it had. That was our question. That's not resolved from here by saying that the margins have the same halacha as a Sefer Torah, because that's through the fact that it's a regular Sefer Torah with the writing. And we're asking when there is no writing. So Toshim HaGin, the Gemara attempts to prove it. Ha'gul Yainin B'Sifrei Minin. If, regarding the blank parts of the parchment, or the Svarim of Minin, these are a Jew that's apostate, he's a Meshumid, and he serves Avodah Zarah, and they would write for their own purposes, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and they would write it in the Ksav Ashuris and Lashon HaKodesh, exactly how our Sefer Torah are written. But they would use it for their own idol purposes. Halacha is, you don't save the Svarim from these apikorsim because there's a fire coming. Rather, el nisrafim am coming, they get burnt in their place. Hein Raskar is saying, the Svarim that they wrote and the letters of Hashem's name that they wrote, because it's not. It's written by apikoris, by someone that's a min, specifically that a Jew that was a Meshumid, and it's for Avodah Zarah purposes. Therefore, we don't give it any Kedusha whatsoever, and we let it burn. So there were two cases. There was the Gil Yoinin and the Sifrei Minin. So the Gemara says, my love, Gil Yoinin, the Sifrei Torah. Isn't it saying there's two things? There's the Sifrei of the Minin, and there's the blank parts of what? Of a regular Sefer Torah. And we see that you don't save it. So therefore that resolves our question. It says that the blank parts of the parchment are not considered like a Sefer Torah to save it on Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, Loi, Gilyoinim de Sefer Minim. What we mean is, we mean the margins of the Svarim, of these Minim, of these apostates, that they wrote it for their idol worship purposes. But then the Gemara asks, how could you say that's Pshat? Hashtes Sefer Minim Gufayu Ematzil. Now we said the whole Sefer Torah of these Minim, we don't save. We said that even though a full-fledged Sefer Torah that they wrote, Gilyoinim, boy, do we have to say that the blank part of the margins you don't save? What do you mean? If a regular Sefer Torah that has the writings and everything, you don't save for sure, not the margins, why would we have to say that? And then the Gemara says, Hochekamam. This is what the Braisa was saying. V'sifrei minin harehelen kilgulyoinim. When it said these two terms, it was really saying that they're equivalent, that the Svarim of the Minim is like margins. In other words, it's like a blank parchment, like it was never written on, has no Kedusha whatsoever, because although they wrote a whole Sefer Torah, it doesn't have Kedusha, which only comes with a Yisrael that writes L'Shem Hashem. Here, that's what we're saying, but it doesn't mean that a Gilyoinim, that you're not going to save. And there's no proof from here either way, and the question is not resolved if the blank margin, if the blank parchment would go ahead be enough to save the Sefer Torah, because they were talking about that we're just using it as a muscle to say that the Sefer Minim are like Gilyoinim, as if nothing was ever written on it. So the Gemara says, Gufa, we mentioned before, this Braisa, HaGilyoinim is Sefer Minim, regarding the blank part of the parchment and the Svarim of these Minim, in Matzil Noisim Nehadleika, we said that you don't save it because of a fire, and we said that it doesn't mean the Gilyoinim, we said possibly it means that the Sifri of the Minim has Alocha like Gilyon, like nothing was ever written. Then the Braisa continues. Rabbi Yosi Amir Reisi says, B'chol, during the weekday, what do you do with the Svarim, the Sifri Torah that are written by these apostates? Kaider Esas Karishab and Regoizen. You cut out the names of Hashem that are written in the Sifri Torah, and you hide those words of Hashem. But Hashar Seifim, but the rest of the Sifri Torah, you burn it. So Amir Ptavim commented on this, and he says, Akapech has been, I will bury my son. It's not true. If I ever get a hold of these Svarim, that these Minim, these apostates that they wrote, I'm going to burn it, and I'm going to burn the names of Hashem that they wrote over. It has no Kedusha whatsoever. And he said even more, because even if a person is running after him to kill him, which is a reference to himself that he was saying, or if a snake is chasing after him to bite him, you could go deceive yourself and I'll go into an idol, a house of idol worship. However, he will not enter in the house of these people of the Minim. And the reason is, why are they so much worse, a Jew that's a Meshumad than a guy that serves the Avodah Zarah? Because these Minim, these Jews, they recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They know who he is, and yet they deny him. These idol worshippers of the nations, they don't know Hashem, and then their denial. And that is, these goyim that serve Avodah Zarah, they don't know. That's just how they were brought up. This is what they learned from their fathers. So therefore, they do the same Avodah Zarah that they always did. But they don't really know. This Jew, he's much worse off. And therefore, I will burn in, I'll burn with the letters of Hashem's name that they wrote. This is what the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'achar hadeles v'amezuzah, that behind the door and the doorpost, sam tzichreinich, that's where you put your memory. Which, what it's trying to say is that you have the memory. It wasn't forgotten. You know who God is, but you threw him behind the door and behind the doorpost, so you're much worse off than someone that really doesn't even know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually is. As the Gemara says, Amr B'Shmol, B'Shmol says, Kavl Chaymer, that there's a Kavl Chaymer that will prove that you burn everything, even Hashem's name, of the Svarim that the Minim wrote. And that is as follows. Umalas is shalom b'nish l'ishta, if to make peace between husband and wife, which is the parasha of the Saita, that is a suspected wife that maybe she had an affair. So what do you do? Amr Torah, Shmi shenichta b'kedusha. Hashem says, my name that was written in holiness, yim chalamayim, it will be dissolved on water, and it should be erased. They put it, Hashem's name, in the water, and then they give the suspected woman, the Saita, to drink the water. And we're erasing Hashem's name. So halalu, so these people, these minim, that they place jealousy and anger and fighting between the Jewish people and their Father in heaven because of what they do, that they're creating such evil in the world. Most definitely do we erase Hashem's name in those places to create shalom. If for the sake to erase Hashem's name, definitely for what these Svarim that they wrote, which are causing idol worship, definitely erase Hashem's name. And the Gemara continues, David, and on these types of people is what David HaMelech said unto Tehillim, Haloi misanecha Hashem esna, ah Hashem, those who hate you, I hate them. And those who stand up against you, I will fight with them. Tachlis sinas sinasim, the ultimate of hatred, I hate them. La'ayivim holy, to as enemies they are to me. And these are the minim, these are the people that I hate, and I will fight them tooth and nail. And the Gemara says, "Ukshem she'im atzil noisin memnead lake." And just like you don't save these svarim, these sifrei Torah that these minim wrote from the fire, kach e'im atzil noisin so too you don't save them even during the weekday. Loy min amapoyos, not from a collapsed building. Loy min amayim, not from water. Loy min davar madvan, or for anything that's coming to destroy it, you don't save it. It has no kedusha. Bury it, burn it. It's terrible things that it causes in the world. On this topic, the Gemara says, related b'yim in a yisav barchan and mirbavo. Hani Sifri de Be'avidin, regarding the Svarim, the Sifri Torah that were written by Be'avidin, and these are Svarim that were written by the Minim to fight, to debate with the Jewish people, and the place where they used to debate was called Be'avidin. So now regarding these Sifri Torah, which were used in these debates, Matzil Noisim Ne'adleko Oye Matzil, do you save it from the fire or not? In other words, it is a full-fledged Sifri Torah. However, it was used in the debates in Be'avidin, do you save it or not? So in Valav, as sometimes he said yes, and sometimes he said not. Varaf Biyadi, it was loose in his hands. He wasn't clear what to answer, if he would save it from a fire or not. Now the Gemara comments regarding this Be'avidin. Rav Loi Ozel LeBe'avidin. He wouldn't go to this Be'avidin, where these Minim would have these debates with the Jewish people regarding the veracity and explanations of different components of the Torah. But Kolchkin LeBe'i Nitzifer, and definitely didn't go to Be'i Nitzifer, which was a house of idol worship itself. However, Shmuel LeBe'i Nitzifi LeOzel, Shmuel wouldn't go to Be'i Nitzifi, in spite of the fact that they called him there, because the house of idol worship. But LeBe'avidin Ozel, but he went to this place of debating, to debate, as we find many times in history, that they had to debate the understandings of the Torah. There he used to go. So the Gemara says, Omerli LeRava, they said to Rava, my time LeOzel LeBe'avidin, why didn't you come to the house of Avidin? Why didn't you come to debate? There was this big debate about all the explanations of the Torah. Why didn't you come? Some Louis said to them, Dikla Palanya Ikaborcha, there was a certain tree on the road, but Koshlin, it was difficult for me because the roots were coming up and it made it challenging to go through. So they said to him, Nakri, we'll get rid of it, we'll uproot it, and then you'll be able to come. We need you there. So he says, Duchte Koshli, then the place over there is challenging because then there's going to be a pit that might fall in. Or another pshat is because I tried once, but the smell over there was challenging. And the idea over here was, he was obviously being evasive, is that Rav and Rava, they were afraid to go to Be'avidin because maybe through the debate, they're going to get upset at them and say, oh, what are you talking about? And they're going to go to come to kill them. That's why they tried avoiding going to Be'avidin because of the situation. As the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this, that Mar Bar of Yosef Omar, he says, what do I mean? Ano minayu, ano, I'm one of them. I'm not afraid of them. I know them. They know me. I'm not afraid. I can go there and debate with them. However, Zimna Chadal, the one time he went, and Boyleskun, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to put him in danger. We see that was a dangerous place to hang out. So the Gemara brings a story related to these Minim, that Ima Shalom, that was her name, who was the base of Rebbe Elazar, she was the wife of Rebbe Elazar, and she was Achsid Rebbe Gamliel Hava, she was the sister of Rebbe Gamliel. Havahu philosopher Bishibuse. There was a certain philosopher, this Min, this Jewish apostate that was in their neighborhood of this sister and brother of Rebbe Gamliel and Ima Shalom. We continue on to Amid Beis. He had a name that went out about him, that he won't take bribes from anyone. He's an upstanding judge. And the truth was, really, in private, he would take bribes, you know, and therefore, they wanted to make a mockery out of him. They wanted to expose him for the fraud that he actually was. So Ayli Lay shrugged the Havas. So Ima Shalom brought him a golden lamp as a bribe. Vazli came in, and she comes in front of him, you know, by the court. Amrlay, she said to him, I want you to split for me the properties of my father that has recently passed away. She comes with her brother in Gamliel. She says, I want to split it. You know, I'm a er also. I deserve to get it. So Amrlay Hupluga says, yeah, go ahead and split it. He remembered the bribe he got from her, the golden lamp, split it. However, Amrlay, Gamliel told to him, but Ksivlon, it says in our Torah, when there's a son, the daughter doesn't inherit. As a son, she doesn't deserve anything. So the judge said to him, wait, from the day that you went into exile from your land, it's not tolis araisa de Moshe, your Torah that you have from Moshe, it was taken away. And you were given a different book. What does it say in that book? Son and daughter will inherit together. You're both equals, you're both children. You deserve to split it. But then the next day, Rigmalil went to the judge and he gave him a Levian donkey, which was a very expensive donkey, and he bribed him that way. So Amalahui said to him, oh, so the next day they come to court, says, wait a second. He says, go at the end of this book that I told you about. V'chasabim, what does it say there? Anol loyla mifchas min ha'raisa de Moshe. He said, I'm not coming to diminish from the Torah of Moshe that he brought. V'loyla sif ala raisa de Moshe. He said, I'm not coming to add anything more than it says in the Torah of Moshe. Uchsiv ben, what does it say in the Torah of Moshe? B'makim bro, Bartolai Tiris, in the place of his son, the daughter doesn't inherit, because now he had the bribe from Rabbi Gamliel. So therefore he says, no, I'm sorry, Ima Shalom, you don't get anything. But Amrlei, she said to the judge, Nahor Naharach Kishraga, let your light shine forth like a lamp. In other words, you have this vision, you're such an upstanding person. What she was alluding to was, now don't forget the golden lamp that I gave you as a bribe, let your light shine forth like a lamp. So Amrlei, Rabbi Gamliel said to her, what do you mean? I'm sorry, but the donkey already came and kicked over the lamp. And what he was trying to say was that I won in my bribe. My bribe was better than your bribe, and therefore I win the court case and not you. And the reason why they did this was because they wanted everyone to hear what a fraud he is and what a lowlife he is. And they got that from all the remuzim that was going on, that he wasn't what he was saying to be. And these meaning, although they prav, they show like as if they're upstanding people and moral and ethical, but they're not. They're frauds. And in private, he takes the bribes. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah. We said, Nema Inkari, what is the reason why we shouldn't read Ksuvim on Shabbos? Torah Gilad and Nevi'im, but Ksuvim not. So the Mishnah said, because of Bitla Beis HaMedrash, because there's drashas, the lectures that are being given on Shabbos, and that's when the halachas that are necessary for people to know during the week are being said on Shabbos when they don't have time to learn during the week. So therefore, on Shabbos, give the lecture. Don't be reading Ksuvim when you should be going to the Shir instead. So I'm a Rav. Rav said, he qualifies this. We only said this at the time of the Beis Medrash, when they actually had the shir in the Beis Medrash, which was before eating the day meal. That's when the lecture used to happen. But not during the time of the Beis Medrash, means after the meal, which they didn't lecture them because they used to drink a lot of wine during the day meal and it doesn't fit to Paskin Alochin Shailas. Then yes, during the rest of Shabbos, you're allowed to read Ksuvim. However, Shmuel Amen, no. Even not during the time of the lecture, the whole entire Shabbos, you're not allowed to read from Ksuvim, from the writings. Edeni, the Gemara says, is that really so? Is that true that Shmuel holds like that? But Vohanada, which was Asur de Shmuel Hava, Nada was the place where Shmuel was the Rav. He was the Moir Hara. Ubenada piski sidra b'ksuv b'minchas de Shabbat. Yet in Nada, they organized a seder of reading from the Ksuvim on Mincha on Shabbos. And therefore we see that even though it wasn't time of the Beis HaMedrash, that they would read from Ksuvim. So you see that's not true, that when it's not during the time of the lecture, that you could read from Ksuvim, and they even read it in Shul, by Mincha time. So therefore Gemara revises and says, Eliyitma Hochidma. Rather, Machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel was as follows. Amar Rav, Leishana El B'mokim Beis HaMedrash. Rav said that the Isser was only in the place of the Beis HaMedrash, in other words, in the Beis HaMedrash, where the Chacham is darshaning, then you're not supposed to be reading from Ksuvim. Then you're in Shul, you're in Beis HaMedrash, listen to the lecture. However, if you're not in the Beis HaMedrash, then yes, you're allowed to read from Ksuvim. Ava Shalei B'mokim Beis HaMedrash Karin, not in the Beis HaMedrash, then you could read from Ksuvim even during the term of the lecture. Ushmul Amen, no. Bein B'mokim Beis HaMedrash, Bein Shalei B'mokim Beis HaMedrash, whether you're in Shul or whether you're not in the Beis HaMedrash, Bizman Beis HaMedrash Inkarn. If it's during the time of the lecture, then you're not allowed to read Ksuvim, because that's going to stop you from then going to the lecture, because, hey, I could be learning Ksuvim, and that's more interesting, more enjoyable for me than going to hear the lecture. So therefore, if it's during the time, you can't. Shalai Bizman Beis HaMedrash Inkarn. If it's not during the time of the lecture, then you're allowed to read it, which is, for example, after the meal, then even in Beis HaMedrash itself, you could. So therefore, Shmuel says that it depends on the time, and that's why, as the Gemara says, V'adzeh Shmuel Tamei is going according to his reasoning, as we said before, Dibnada Piski Stid D'Chsuv B'Minchas D'Shabata, that during Mincha time, yes, then even in the Beis HaMedrash itself, they would read from Ksuvim, because the only problem is, it doesn't make a difference if you're in Beis HaMedrash or not, but during the time of the Beis HaMedrash, which is before the day meal, when they're having the shir, then you're not allowed to go ahead and read from Ksuvim. But if not during that time, then you're allowed to, as we see, during Mincha time, they actually did. Rav Ashi gives a different teretz. He says, no, la'olam k'damar makar, really the truth is, as we had originally said, that machlek is between Rav and Shmuel, is that Rav said it's only during the time of the shir, and Shmuel says even not during the time of the shir, that you're not allowed to go ahead and read from Ksuvim. But then the question is, what do you do with the fact that Nardo, which is the town of Shmuel, and yet they did read from Ksuvim, not during the time of the shir, which was during Mincha time? And that he says, Ushmuel, that he said before that even after the meal you're not allowed to read from Ksuvim, that he was explaining to Kareb Nechemiah. He was coming to explain the opinion of Reb Nechemya, which he doesn't hold that the reason why you're not allowed to read Ksuvim because of the Bittel Beis Medrash. Rather, as the Gemara later is going to say, because of a Kal V'Chomer from Shtari to Shtari Had Yoytis, to different contracts. And that is, as the Gemara is going to say, that we didn't want you to read Ksuvim to say that, oh, if you can't read Ksuvim, definitely you can't read contracts, which is an Issa to do on Shabbos, and that's why he said even Ksuvim not allowed to. But Shmuel himself accustomed himself, like the opinion of the Chacham of our Mishnah, that they said the reason is because of Bittel Torah. And therefore, after the meal, where there is no drasha, then yes, you're allowed to read it. As the Gemara says, to cite the opinion of Nechemya, which is what Shmuel is coming to explain over there, but he himself was like the town of our, the Chacham of our Mishnah, which said it's only because of Bittel Beis Medrash, and later on, B'minchatam, there's no such problem. So therefore, in his shul, in Narda, they actually read from Ksuvim. As the Gemara brings, the Tanya in the Braisa. After Pisha Amru Kisra HaKodesh in Karim Hen. Even though we said that Kisvei HaKodesh, you're not supposed to read them, that's a reference to Ksuvim, but you could be involved in learning with them. In other words, to learn the Midrashim on Shir HaShirim and Keheles, Midrashim, you could expound on them, or for example, Nitzach LePasuk, if you have to look up a Pasuk in Ksuvim, maybe V'rayba, you could bring it and look at it. It's just that to read it, which that's going to take away from the Isaac and Talmud Torah, that you're not allowed to, but if you need it for purposes of learning in Torah, then you're allowed to learn from Ksuvim. That's the opinion of the Chacham of Mishnah, that the main reason was because of Bittel Torah. Amar Nechemya, Nechemya says no. Why did we say that the Ksuvim, the Ksuvim that you're not allowed to read on Shabbos, that's Kedesh Yoymi B'Kisvei HaKodesh Enkarim. That's to say that people should say, wow, if even Kisvei HaKodesh, even Ksuvim, which is part of the 24 Svarim of Tanakh, that you can't read, the Kol Shekim B'Shtar Yid is indefinitely not allowed to read regular documents of regular people. For example, if, let's say, of calculations or letters that are being sent elsewhere to attain something that you want to have, and therefore that would apply the entire day. And that's what Shmuel was saying. That's even Shleibis Man Beis HaMedrash, because it's the entire day of Shabbos to say that you don't read Ksuvim. The entire day of Shabbos, you don't read Shtari Ad Yoytis, you don't read any other contract or document that has nothing to do with Kedusha or Torah. And that's why he was saying that it was a whole entire day. But he himself, he was going like the Chacham of our Mishnah that says only because of Bittel Torah, and that would only apply to when the lecture is, which is before the meal, but after the meal, and definitely by Mincha time, you're allowed to read from Ksuvim, and that's why in Hishul Nada, they actually read from Ksuvim. So now the Gemara continues on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding saving a sefer from a fire on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, "Matzilin tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer." Not only could you save the sefer itself, the scroll, but you could save the covering of this scroll with the scroll. And similarly, "Tik ha-tefillin im ha-tefillin," your sack, your container of your tefillin with the tefillin itself. And that's even if there's money inside of it, but because of the sefer or the tefillin that's inside of it, you could save it with that. The question is, "Ulehechin matzilnas," and to where can you save it? Where can you bring it to? And that the Mishnah says, "Lemovish ein mefulish," to a mavoi, which is an open area where all the courtyards open into, which is enclosed on three sides. It's not open all the way. It's only open on one side to Rosh Hashanah, which that halachically has a status of Rosh Hashanah, but it requires a shetufim mevoi, a type of an erev, because of its similarity to Rosh Hashanah, and that people shouldn't come to carry to Rosh Hashanah. Such an area is where you're allowed to bring the sefer that you're saving from the fire. But Messiah Aflam foolish. The Messiah says, even to a mavoi, an open area that's open to Rosh Hashanah on both sides, even to that area, you're allowed to save a sefer Torah from a fire. So now the Gemara will quote a brisa that will be related to the discussion in our Mishnah. Tarban will learn the brisa. Arba Aser, the 14th of Nisan, Shechali is Beshabbos that falls out on Shabbos. So therefore, Erev Pesach Shabbos. Mavshitinesa Pesach Adachaza. You're allowed to skin, you're allowed to flay the Karban Pesach until the breast. And that is, you start from the hind legs, and you go, you skin it all the way up to the breast, so that you can be able to take out the emurim, the sacrificial parts, and to sacrifice the fats, which that is Deiche Shabbos, because you have to bring the carbon on the 14th of Nisan to be able to eat it on the 15th at night. But you can't flay it any more than the higher than the breast until the evening part, because that's necessary just for hedyid purposes, for the person to be able to consume it. Therefore, that you can't do on Shabbos, not Deiche Shabbos. Only things which are tzerich gevaya, which are necessary to bring in the mizbeach, which is to take out the sacrificial parts inside the animal. So that would be necessary to flay it up to the breast. Further than that, you can't. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel b'noi Shabbi Yochanan ben Berek. V'chachamayim nacham say, no, mafshit neskuli, you could skin, you could flay the entire animal. So the Gemara discusses this machlokes. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel b'noi Shabbi Yochanan ben Berek. We understand why you could flay it only up to the breast. Because that's what's necessary for the needs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring it onto the Mizbeach. You have to get out the emurim which are inside the animal, so you have to skin it up to there. But more than that, it's not necessary for Hashem, so therefore you can't do that on Shabbos. The Rabbana, my time, but according to Rabbana, what's the reason that you can flay it all the way? Amar Rabbi B'chanan B'yichanan, the reason is the Amar Kor, because it says a pasuk in Mishle, Kol Paul Hashem L'manei, whatever Hashem did, he did for his own sake, meaning for his own honor. And what does that mean? Here, what is your honor, your covet for Hashem to be able to skin the whole entire thing? You could skin it on Matzah Shabbos, which is on Yom Tov itself. Why do you have to skin it now? That has nothing to do. You don't have to bring it for the sacrificial parts. It's enough to skin it, to flay it up to the breast. And that the Gemara gives two reasons. Rav Yosef Amar Shelo Yesrech, that it shouldn't spoil, because the hide, the skin makes it hot and it makes it spoil, and that's not covet, it's not honorable that the parts of the food which are coming from Hashem's table, so to speak, should be disgusting, and therefore that is considered lemaneu for the covet of Hashem, and for that reason you let us skin it all the way. Rav Amar Rav gives a different reason. He says, it's disgraceful that the sanctified parts of heaven, of the carbon, should just be laying there like a carcass because you can't touch it because of the parts of the carbon that can't be flayed all the way to the top. And therefore, you're allowed to flay it all the way so that you could have the meat and do whatever you need with it. And that thing where it says, my benai, what's the difference between these two pshatim? So the Gemara gives two differences. Ika benayu demonach absur de dahava. That there's a difference if it's placed on a golden table, that now it's not just laying there disgracefully, it's on a nice place. But however, it still applies the reason that it might spoil, and Rav Yosef is concerned that it might spoil by the evening time because of the heat that's generated with the skin that's on it, therefore you're allowed to flay the whole thing. But Rav wasn't concerned until the evening that it's going to spoil, and therefore if it's on a gold on a golden table, you're allowed to leave it. Inam, the Gemara says, Yemidas Tana, it's a day when the northern wind is blowing, which is a medium type of a wind. It's not too hot, not too cold, so it's not going to spoil. As the Gemara Yevamos in Perka Arl says, however, it still applies the concern that it's just laying there like in the veil, like a carcass. So therefore, that would be the difference between the two pshatim, these two reasons, if it's considered that we're concerned that it might spoil, or if it's just laying there disgracefully, regarding the pshat of the Rabbanon, why you're allowed to flay it, the entire thing. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Nei Shabbi Yechim ben Bereke, but according to him, that he doesn't permit the flaying of the whole entire carbon. So then, Hai Parla Hashem L'maneu, my Avadli, what does he do with the pasuk that whatever Hashem did, he did for his honor? He doesn't use it to tell this drasha that you're allowed to flay it all the way because of that it might get spoiled or because it's just laying there disgracefully. So what does he do with it? And that the Gemara says, Shelo Yoytzi Yesei Amurin Koyim Avshad Zar. It's coming to tell you that you shouldn't take out the sacrificial parts from inside the animal before you skin the hide, at least up until the breast. To which the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? What does the hide have to do with the sacrificial parts? Why can't you just reach in and take it out and leave the whole entire hide on that? And that the Gemara says, Amr Rav Huna Bereder Rav Nasan, Mishum Niman, because of the hairs of the wool, of the skin, that gets stuck on the sacrificial parts, if you didn't flay it, when you would be pulling it out, it gets stuck in the hairs out there, which is disgraceful. It's not coveted for Hashem. So because of that, that's what the pasuk is saying, called Pol Hashem L'maneu, is to tell you that you should flay it up until the breast, but not further than that, because that's not necessary anymore for Tzarech Gevaya. So now the Gemara gets a step deeper in this machlokes. Omer Avchiza Omer Ukva. Maya Hadru Lechavraya L'Rebbe Shmuel B'noi Shabyechem Emreka. What those... The group that argue with Rabbi Shmuel ben Noi Shabbi Yechim Reka, what would they respond to him? Why they feel that he's wrong? So this is what they told him when we said Vachacham Oim, that they said that you could flay the whole entire thing. They said Imat Silim, if you're allowed to save, and this is talking about that you're allowed to save on Shabbos. Tik Hasefer Im Hasefer, the cover of the Sefer Torah with the Sefer, which is what we just quoted from our Mishnah. And that is in spite of the fact that there's money inside of it. And the reason is because of the cover, the honor of the Sefer, which is Tzorech Gevaya, which was necessary for Hashem Shemayim purposes. So therefore, you could save together with it money, which is Tzorech Hedyet. We find this idea. So like Nashed Esa Pesach Ma'arisa, wouldn't we be able to flay the whole entire Kom Pesach from its hide? Because if we're allowing you to, because of the Tzorech Gevaya, which we allow you to flay the hide, at least up until the breast, wouldn't we allow you to do Tzorech Hedyet with it, which is the same idea we find in our Mishnah, that we're allowed to go ahead and save the Sefer Torah together with it, we're allowed to save the cover, even though it has money inside of it, which is Tzarech Hedyet, but since together with Tzarech Gevaya, you can do Tzarech Hedyet. Here also, once you're flaying it, you can flay the whole thing, Tzarech Gevaya together with Tzarech Hedyet. And that is, says, me dummy, can you compare the two? Hasam over there in our Mishnah, which was by the cover and the money, which you're trying to prove from, there it's tiltal, all it is Muktzah, which is a Drabbanan. Hacha over here, by the, our machlekes that we're talking about, by the Karban Pesach that we're discussing, malacha, we're talking about reference to a full-fledged malacha deraisa, because hafshata, flaying, is one of the 39 of malacha. So therefore, how can you prove from there that muktza, once we allowed you to do muktza for the Sefer Torah, we allowed you to move the money with it, to over here where we're discussing isa deraisa of flaying. From the fact that we let you tzarcha gevay, is not a rai, we'll let you also tzarcha hedu. Rather, so what did they respond to him? It can't be what they responded to him, because that's pretty obvious that that would be no comparison. So Amar Vashi, rather what the Chavraya were responding to Rabbi Yechonon ben Berek, to Rabbi Shmuel ben Nish, Rabbi Yechonon ben Berek, was betarti pligi. They were arguing on two points. Pligi betilta, they were arguing regarding the halacha of muktza, and that is regarding the Karban Pesach, there is also an element of muktza that they were discussing. That Rabbi Shmuel says the Karban Pesach when the Erev Pesach is Shabbos, it has halacha of muktza. After you took out the emurim, the sacrificial parts, you wouldn't be able to move it even from the hide, from the sun to the shade, because of the hide that you weren't able to fully skin it, to flay it, because we said you can only do it up until the breast, where that's not something that you can move. It has halacha of muktza, the hide. And Rashi tells us it's not comparable to the halacha of shlochen, of hides, which we say on Daf Mem Tesamet Aleph, that you're allowed to move them, because there is talking about the hide of a large animal, where it's fit to be used on Shabbos, to lay it down and use it as a rug, as a mat, therefore that would be fitting. But here, the hide has a halacha of muktza. And on that they're arguing, upligi b'malacha, and they also argue, as we mentioned before, regarding the malacha of hefshed, of flaying it, that he says that you're allowed to do it only until the hide, until the breast, and they say you could do it all the whole thing. But then there's another machlekes regarding muktzah, as the Gemara says of Hachi Karmelim. And this is what they were telling him, they were giving him a response regarding the muktzah. You're saying it's muktzah because the hide is muktzah, and therefore everything is muktzah. But they said, imatzilin tikha sefer masefer, they were proving from a Mishnah, if you're allowed to save the covering of the sefer with the sefer itself, learning taltel or agabasa, shouldn't we be able to save the hide together with the meat? And that is, that's also covered shemayim, because the meat, which is the carbon, is comparable to the sefer Torah. And that is, just like meat you're allowed to move from the sun to the shade, and so too the sefer you're allowed to move from the sun to the shade. So therefore, together with the sefer, you're allowed to do the covering of the sefer. Here also, together with the meat, you're allowed to move the hide, the skin that's attached to it together with it. That's the same corollary that you find over there, that you're allowed to move something that's usr together with something that's mutter. Here also, the meat that is mutter, you're allowed to move the hide, in spite of the fact that the hide is muktzah because it has no purposeful use on Shabbos, you're allowed to move it together with the meat. So therefore, they weren't responding to him regarding the halacha of hefshed, because they're right, that has no comparison. There it's muktzah, which is drabbanan, and here hefshed is a malacha deraisa of hefshata. But what they were talking to him was regarding the fact that you're saying that not only you're not allowed to pull it past the breast, I mean, according to us, you're allowed to pull it totally off, so therefore the meat is not going to be a problem of muktzah at all, because the hide is totally off. But even according to you, that you're only allowed to do it up until the breast, and therefore now it's muktzah because of the hide, it's not true. The meat is not muktzah, so therefore, because of the meat, the hide should be able to move with it. And therefore, why are you saying that it's muktzah? And then we continue on to the top of Kof Yud Zayin, Omed Aleph, to which the Gemara says, Mi Dami, again, there's no comparison. Because Hasam over there in our Mishnah, Nasa Basis Ladava Hamutta, the covering of the Sefer becomes a base for something that's permitted. And that is the tick. The covering of the Sefer Torah becomes a base for something that's permitted, because you're allowed to move it even without a fire, because you're allowed to move a Sefer Torah. It's not something that's muktzah. Hacha, but over here, regarding the hide, the skin that's attached to the Karban Pesach, Nasa Basis L'Davar Asur, it becomes a base for something that is forbidden. And that is, it's a base only, totally for something that's forbidden to move, because the meat is Asur to move it, because it's not fit to eat until the evening. And the Karban, as we'd say, the Karban Pesach is only eaten at nighttime and it's roasted. And the Rebbe Shmuel doesn't hold that it has an element of Kavod Shemayim for something that's eaten for a hedyot, as we find that the necessity for the hedyot allows you to flay it past the breast, which is only a hedyot for a commoner purpose, not for tzarcha gevaya. And therefore, even if the hide would have halachic status of a kli, that it wasn't muktzah, it would still be aser, because it's what's called a basis l'davar aser. It's a base for something that's aser, because the meat is considered muktzah on Shabbos, because you can't even eat it now. So therefore, it's like a raw piece of meat, which is muktzah on Shabbos. And definitely, that when we're saying that it itself, the hide itself is muktzah, so definitely not allowed. So therefore, what's the comparison? You can't compare it to the cover over there, where you're allowed to move because of the Sefer Torah, because it's a base to a Sefer Torah, which is permitted to move. Here, the meat itself is not true. The meat itself is muktzah. So therefore, not only is the hide itself muktzah, but what you're trying to tell me that it should be mutter because of the meat, it's not true. The meat itself is muktzah because it has no purpose today. It's only fit to be eaten tonight, and that doesn't make it mutter to move now. So therefore, not only is the hide itself muktzah, it's muktzah because the base for something, for ladava aser, for the meat, that's also us, and therefore there's no comparison. Don't ask for me from the case of tikka sefer.